As we talked about during our reading this morning, we are going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke, the first two chapters, because those first two chapters contain the first five hymns of Christmas, Christmas carols. We enjoy Christmas carols so much, especially during this holiday season, as we're singing words to remind us of what God has done. We just gave us our context during our reading earlier today. We talked about Elizabeth meeting with Mary, these two new mothers, with the children still in their wombs, coming together to praise God together on what God was doing in both Elizabeth and within Mary. The first song is the song of Elizabeth, how she proclaims joy and blessings on what God is doing within her. We'll be reading beginning at verse 41, and it says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then beginning in verse 42, she begins to proclaim praises to God. Blessed are you among women, Elizabeth proclaims. And blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? I looked up the word favored there. It looked like an important word. I was trying to see if it was the same word as the word blessed used in the verse before, or what word is being used there, and I discovered something rather interesting. The word, actually, is just a simple word. It is the word this. What Elizabeth is saying is, why is this happening to me? NIV does translate this word as favored, and that's a wonderful translation, but what's happening here is Elizabeth is saying, why is this happening to me? The ESV translates that same phrase, why is this granted to me? But we know the answer to that question. That is told to us in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. This is what is happening. God is coming to dwell in our midst. As we did our John chapter 1 study last month, we talked about the Word becoming flesh, the Word becoming a human being, God breaking into human history. That is the this, and this is happening to Elizabeth, it is happening to us, it is happening to Mary. We can rejoice in this simple truth, that God has broken in to our world, to walk the streets of Jerusalem and Judea, to minister and to touch people, you and I and all people. Verse 44 says, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, as soon as Elizabeth heard the greeting that came from Mary, the child in my womb leapt for joy. This morning, Jim lit our candle of joy. Christmas is about joy. The shepherds were told that something to bring joy to them was about to take place. We lit the candle of joy here. John the Baptist, in the womb of Mary, leapt for joy. That was his response to the greeting from Mary, to the news that this was happening. How do we respond? When we think about Christmas, when we consider the fact that God broke into human history, that the Word became flesh, that a child was born, and that child was God himself, how do we respond? I hope we have the same joy that we see in John, leaping for joy in the womb as Elizabeth and Mary greet one another. Why is this granted to me, that I am so favored, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Why are we so favored that God would come and dwell in our midst? Do we know that joy that Elizabeth speaks of? Do we feel favored, and are we blessed as Elizabeth proclaims? Let's turn now to the Song of Mary. Again, the contest here for both of these songs, the Song of Elizabeth, the Song of Mary, is these two women that God has touched. One in her old age to allow her to give birth to John the Baptist, the greatest prophet of all time. He was great because he was given the privilege of announcing and proclaiming, this is the one who has been called to come. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Elizabeth, or Mary, the mother of our Lord. The Song of Mary. Again, praising God for what he was doing in our midst, bringing salvation, God dwelling amongst us. We said there were five hymns in this session of Luke's Gospel. All five of them have the same theme of what Christ is doing to bring salvation, God dwelling in our midst. Let's pause a moment and consider a little bit of the background of who Mary was. Mary was an ordinary Jewish girl, a humble Jewish girl, nobody special in her own eyes or in the eyes of others. But God chose her, and God sent an angel to announce to her that God was going to do something in her to bless all generations. I'm guessing that Mary never anticipated this. Growing up as a young girl, she probably assumed that she would live the same kind of life and have the same kind of experiences other girls had her age and in her time. But God chose her to do something miraculous within her and to bless all. What was her reaction? When the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Her reaction, we read about that in verse 38. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. No objections, no clarification needed. The angel had announced to her that God was going to use her. And she says, I am your servant. Let it be as you said. How often do we want to resist a bit? Not follow through what God is calling on us to do? But Mary says, I am your servant. Do with me as you will. Let's go back to this meeting between Mary and Elizabeth. Again, with that greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and then Mary herself breaks out in song. Verse 46, Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord. That word magnified there. In the Latin, it is what brings about the name of this song, the Magnificat. Comes from the first word in the Latin of this, he magnifies. What is the word to magnify? It means to enlarge, to enlarge. And so the question is, what is being enlarged in the eyes and in the heart of Mary? Well, we want to say, first off, it's not God who's being enlarged. God cannot be enlarged. He is the God of all creation. the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What is being enlarged is Mary's understanding, Mary's heart. She's coming to recognize that God is doing great things in her. God is doing great things for all of mankind. He is magnified. He is enlarged. He is glorified. I can illustrate it this way. Think about the moon. We look at the moon, we see a beautiful moon, and we want to get a closer look. So we lift to our eyes some binoculars and we see the moon seeming to enlarge, and we notice its magnificence. In fact, what do we often want to do when we look at the moon and all its glory, and we enlarge it by looking through binoculars? We want to share that with others. If we're with others, we say, look at the moon through these binoculars. We find a great joy in that, and we want to share it with others. That's a sign of that Christmas theme, that Christmas joy of wanting to share with others what you have experienced yourself. We magnify the Lord by showing that to others. Do we want others to know that same joy, to have that same recognition of who God is and what God is doing in our midst, especially during this Christmas season? And why does Mary feel so compelled to magnify the Lord? Well, we learn in verse 48. Again, Mary recognizes, she says, I magnify the Lord, I rejoice. And then verse 48, it says, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. The slide uses the word, he has looked upon. He has noticed the humble state of his servant. Remember the first words of Mary when the angels announced to her what was happening within her. I am your servant. Mary recognizes the greatness of God as she recognizes her own loneliness and her own state. Mary comes into the presence of God and recognizes that he himself is a great God. This reminds me of the story of Isaiah the prophet when he saw God in his vision. And he reacted by saying, woe is me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. When we come to recognize who God is in his greatness, we recognize that we are just his servant. We recognize our own loneliness, our own humility, our own smallness in the eyes of what God has done. Mary acknowledges her humble state. She wasn't a grand queen like Esther. She wasn't a warrior like Deborah. She wasn't a prophetess like Huldah. She was an ordinary girl. A humble girl, a lowly girl. And what was really great was the God who was visiting her. This theme and these words are very similar to the words of Hannah as she herself recognized that God was doing something in her great. Remember the story of Hannah, like Elizabeth and Mary, was a girl without child, barren. And only God was able to come in and bless her and touch her and give her what she so desired. And when Hannah recognized what God was doing in her, she uttered the words that are very similar to the words of Mary in our story this morning. Hannah says, I have prayed and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. This idea of the greatness of God and the humility of our own state is talked about in the book of 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul contrasts the greatness of God with the humility and the lowliness that often characterizes our own world. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Paul writes, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were Paul. Not many of you were wise by human standards." Remember that phrase, wise by human standards. "Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lonely things of the world." Think about this humble Jewish girl. She was the weak thing. She was the lonely thing. She was the foolish thing. In the eyes of the world, many of us would be the lonely, the weak, the foolish thing. In fact, that's the context of this particular passage. Paul is reminding them that they in themselves are not great. According to the world's standards, they were the weak things, the foolish things, the lonely things. But God has chosen those things to do mighty works in. Let's return to the words of the Apostle Paul. He has chosen the lonely things of this world, the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. So that no one may boast before him. It is because of him, Paul says. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus. He has become for us the wisdom of God. I told you a moment ago to note the words, the wisdom of this human standard. Now in the contrast, the wisdom of God. The wisdom of this world would not choose an ordinary person like Mary, humble Jewish girl, to bring on forth the Messiah. According to this world, it should have been coming from a family of power, a royal family, a priestly family. Not a young girl betrothed to a humble carpenter. The wisdom of God, however, is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. The theme seen in this section from 1 Corinthians. The wisdom of this world versus the wisdom of God. The world of pride versus the world of humility. We saw those same words in Mary's song of praise to God. God lifts up the humble. He brings down those who are proud. It's a theme seen throughout the scriptures. It's a theme seen in the very Christmas story in the words of Mary. It's a theme seen in the Psalms. Consider Psalm 113, verse 7. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and with the princes of their people. And I love verse 9. Verse 9 in this psalm, Psalm 113. It says, he settles the barren woman in her home as a happy mother with children. Again, let's think back to the passage we're looking at today. Elizabeth, a barren woman, never had children. God blesses her. And again, verse 9, he settles that barren woman in her home as a happy mother of children. And then Mary herself. He settles the barren woman in her home as a happy mother with child. God is busy throughout human history, lifting up the humble, bringing down the proud, settling the barren woman
in their home as a happy mother of children, looking always to bless and to enrich and to send forth his Son. The sending forth of the Son also came in humility, in a state of humility, the birth of Christ in all of its details. The birth narrative and the background of Jesus illustrate this. One of the things that we looked at last month, as we were looking at 1 John, is the story of Philip and Nathanael. If you recall, Philip had gone to Nathanael, his friend, to tell Nathanael, "We have found the one of whom Moses and the prophets had spoken." Remember the first reaction of Nathanael. He said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" We looked at that idea last month. And the ideas and the expectations of the people of the culture would not have seen Nazareth as an important place for God to bring forth his Son. But God chooses the humble. He chooses the ordinary to bring forth his Son. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. "But God chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chooses the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chooses the lowly things of this world, the despised things, the things that are not." Sometimes I think we feel that way and we become discouraged. We think, "God can't do a mighty work in my life. I'm too ordinary. I'm too humble. I'm too lonely." Well, that's where God comes in. And God begins to change and bless and lifts up the humble, lifts up the lonely. He does it in the bringing forth of the Son, and he does it throughout our lives. We continue to trust in him. Back to Mary's song. Verse 48. "From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things in me. The Mighty One has done great things among us. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him." As we were considering the purpose statement of John's gospel, we can kind of paraphrase this. He extends his mercy to those who believe in him from generation to generation. Mary recognized that great things was happening within her. God's mercy was being extended to her and through her to all the world. God was doing great things. Because she was willing to bear God's Son, mercy would be extended from generation to generation. Her response, "Holy is his name." What is our response to when God's mercy is given to us? I hope it's the same as Mary. "Holy is his name." Mary knew that she bore the Holy One of God. The angel had told her that. The Annunciation, recall the words of the Annunciation. The angel visited Mary and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." But Nathanael, the one who at first said, "What good can come from Nazareth?" when he came to realize who Jesus was in his conversation with Jesus, he then declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Recall the words of Jesus in response to that. He says, "You believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." And isn't that? And I tell you the truth, In other words, it's you to all of us. I tell all of you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angels of God descending and ascending on the Son of Man. Earth is announced with angels proclaiming the coming of the Son of God. And here we're reminded that the angels will ascend and descend on the very Son of God. Which brings us back to John's purpose statement. These things are written to you that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Mary is proclaiming three of the most important characteristics of God. He is the Mighty One. He is powerful. He is holy. He is full of mercy. Let's turn now to the third stanza of Mary's song. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but He has sent the rich away empty. God is indeed bringing down lifting up the humble and bringing down the proud. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And His greatness is recognized when we recognize our own state of humility. Let's turn now to the final two verses of Mary's song. The final two verses. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers. As you reflect on this whole story, you wonder, why would God choose Mary for this role? Was there something in Mary that made her more deserving of this honor than all the other Jewish girls? The answer is no. She was no different than all the other ordinary girls of Israel. God doesn't choose us because somehow we are worthy, somehow we are deserving. God chooses to work through us, ordinary people, lonely people, in the world standards, foolish people. Again, Paul's words to the church of Corinth, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many. That's what God does. He lifts up the humble. He blesses all people through those who are willing to be His servant. That's the words of Mary as she proclaimed her joy and her delight in what God was doing through her in blessing the world with the coming of the Savior. Next week we'll look at a few more of these wonderful Christmas hymns found in the opening verses of the Gospel of Luke. We'll start with the Benedictus, the song of Zechariah. And he recognizes what God is doing through him. And we'll consider the words of the angels proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. And we'll look at the words of Simeon, the prophet, who holds that child in his hands and praises God for what God is doing in this humble child born in Bethlehem. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this Christmas season, this time in which we celebrate and remember the birth of Jesus in all the humility and the lowliness that represents. But in the midst of the holiness and the humility and the loneliness, God is doing a mighty thing, bringing forth His Savior, lifting up His people, filling us with His mercy. Help us to remember that as we continue enjoying this Christmas season and knowing what it is that we are enjoying, celebrating. We pray this all in Jesus' name.